Welcome to the Easy Yoga Podcast with myself, Gemma Neese, Easy Yoga founder, author, yoga coach, and relationship coach. It is my pleasure to have you here and for you to feel energized, calm, happy, and for you to have the perfect relationship with yourself, your partner, and your family without seeing a family therapist, changing your personality, or leaving your job. You will learn techniques and things to help you guide you through a better life through health, meditation, yoga, journaling, nutrition, and all things yoga, for you to have the life you deserve and crave, and for you to love yourself on a soul level. Thank you so, so much for being here today, and I am so grateful and so full of love to have you here. Enjoy this next episode. Hello everyone, and welcome back to another episode from Easy Yoga, all things relationships, yoga, and well-being. And today my special guest is Anne Hintz. Anne has developed the ability to sense inside her body and release physical tension stored in her connective tissue using solely the focus of her mind, which is incredible, by the way. She has x-rays to show the physical changes resulting from this inner work, including changing the alignment of her eye sockets, the straightening of her neck, and the centering of her lower jaw and the growth of her tooth roots. She also has grown 3/4 inch at the age of 56, which is amazing as well. Anne has a YouTube channel where she shares her journey, explains the connection between the physical and spiritual, and will be posting videos of how to change the pressing issue of our time. Her book, A Pathway to Insight, which we will talk about, details her journey and breaks down the steps she took to attain what she calls insight, or the ability to see within her body. So welcome. Thank you so much for being here.
Thank you. It's great to be here.
It is. So yes, explain more. Or where did you kind of first start? Because actually, I don't know if you've listened to some of my podcasts, but I had this, and I've achieved this as well. I did have hip dysplasia in my left hip, but I saw a surgeon a couple of years ago, and he said, right, you can have a double hip replacement, or they break your pelvis in three places. And I thought, I'm not going to do that. I don't want to do that. And then he said, what do you want to do? And I was like, right, well, give me 6 months and I will prove to you that I can do this and heal myself. And I think it was about a year I went back, and yeah, he was amazed that I did.
Amazing.
So we're the same.
Well done.
What about you as well? So yeah, how did you kind of get into what you do now, or what's like your backstory?
Yeah, so I wasn't going into this with the intention of doing any of these physical changes. They just happened along the way. My original goal was to find inner peace, because I was so reactionary and scared on the inside all the time. And I needed to change. I was desperate to change. But it wasn't until I had a business altercation in my late 30s with a couple of other mothers at my boys' school. And these women were self-confident, self-assured, authority-type women in my mind. Mm-hmm. And I was a scared mother on the inside, and they told me I'd done something wrong. And my mind just spun out of control. I could not stop it spinning over everything. You know, what they'd said, what I'd said, what I'd done, what I could have done differently, just all the different permutations. And it was at the end of those 3 days that I realized, first, this isn't normal.
Yes.
No one else I knew who would react that way. Mm. And I realized it felt a little bit like how I would react when my dad would tell me I'd done something wrong.
Mm-hmm.
But for me, that was the little opening that maybe my childhood, all those traumas from childhood, was still affecting me to this day. And up until that point, you know, my late 30s, I did not realize that. So that was the beginning of my journey. And I happened to go to a doctor's appointment. He was a holistic physician, so he had more tools in his toolbox than most doctors do.
Yeah.
And he recognized I was stressed. And he asked me on a scale of 0 through 10 what my stress level was. And I said it was an 8. And then he asked me why. And that's when I realized it was finding my mother dead on the bathroom floor when I was 19.
Wow.
Because the tears from that event were still just under the surface all these years later. I just had not dealt with them.
Mm.
So he happened to know this technique that is called EFT.
EFT.
Oh, good. It's short for emotional freedom technique. It's also called tapping, because we're tapping on our body as we're talking something through. And he tapped with me for about 15 minutes about my mother's death. And I walked away from that appointment being able to tell the story in my mind without the tears there for the first time ever.
Wow, that's
so that's when
amazing.
I realized we keep all those memories and those emotions physically in our body, and that we can let them go, which was huge.
That's amazing.
So I just started using it. I started tapping every day when I found myself being emotional, and things started to change, but I wanted it to go faster. I was so desperate to change. So I wrote down every emotional memory I could think of from my childhood, all the big traumas, all the little traumas, all the humiliations, all the judgments, the beliefs. And I tapped through one each night for about an hour to an hour and a half each night. And things really started to change faster. I just became more peaceful on the inside. I'd never experienced a quiet mind before. And at that point, I realized that all the judgments and the criticisms of myself and other people that had been in my mind had actually been my dad's words that I had been programmed with in childhood. But I took them on as mine, and I didn't realize they weren't mine until I'd let them go and they weren't there anymore.
That's
which was huge.
Wow. So if someone was new to tapping or doesn't know about it, what actually is it? You said it's tapping like on different points, but what is it? I know what it is because I do it, but
it's a little bit like acupressure. Because
yeah.
we're tapping on the ends of meridian systems as we're talking something through, as we're bringing the emotions back into our body. And it's the physical act of tapping on these points on the body, and it's the same point every time, the same series of points each time. That physical act of tapping releases the energy stored in the nervous system around that memory. So if you do it over and over again with the same memory, eventually there's no emotion left in it anymore. And that really has changed inside of us. It changes inside of our body so that we don't react in the same way anymore to the same or similar thing when it comes up in our lives. We just don't react the way we used to in the past.
That's amazing. That's so good. So then how did you kind of change your body's physical being?
Right. Well, that was the first step. And I realized as I did more and more EFT, what it does is it opens up the subconscious mind. And as that happens, our self-awareness expands or deepens. So when I started that journey, I wasn't aware of my emotions. I had so many barriers inside of me to anything. And the EFT released that. So I became aware of my emotions, and I became aware at a deeper level of the physical sensations underneath the emotions. So when we're feeling something like sadness or frustration, we're actually holding our body in a particular posture. We're holding tension inside of us, and we can become aware of that. So I became aware of where I was holding that tension when I was feeling a particular emotion. And I was in a group at the time, we were studying A Course in Miracles, and the kind of head of the group, the guru, would say every week, you don't have to meditate. It's all about feeling your feelings. And I was doing EFT kind of outside of this group, but in the same time frame. And at the beginning, I didn't know what feeling your feelings meant because I didn't know what I felt. But as time went by, I became aware of the feelings. And that one day I said, okay, I'm going to try and feel my feelings. What does that even mean? So I was at the kitchen sink doing the dishes, and I caught myself thinking a thought which had emotion involved. So that's not easy to do. It takes some work to get there. But I did. And it might be a thought such as, I'm afraid of making a phone call. And so I'd catch that thought, and then I'd feel where that fear was, the fear of making the phone call. And fear for me is across my solar plexus in my stomach area. So, okay, how do I feel those feelings? And I realized if I moved, I would lose my focus on the feeling. Or if I took a deep breath, I would lose my focus on the feeling. So I realized I had to hold myself like a statue. Once I had my focus on that tension inside of my solar plexus, I would hold myself like a statue and just feel it. And to do that, I would talk to it. So I'd say things like, okay, I could feel this fear right there. It's just sitting there right there in my solar plexus. I just want to feel you. I want to allow you to be, because that feeling of fear had been suppressed inside of me so long, it didn't know how to be felt. So over time, I got better and better at it, and I could just feel it, and it would shift. I'd have to take a deep breath, obviously, at some point, and then I'd think the thought again, I'm afraid of making the phone call, feel the fear, and it would have diminished slightly. So I would do it again and again until that thought no longer has any fear, at which point it becomes easier to make the phone call.
That's incredible. That is so true, though. It really is. And you can do that with anything. Like I have a set or two or three different ones that I do. And a lot of the time I normally stick to one, which is manifestation one. And it's incredible the things that just come because you're doing all this and you're moving this energy around all the time. And yeah, I love it. Oh, it's amazing. So what started you with your book then as well? Like, what's it called?
Well, can I carry on with my story?
Yeah, carry on.
That's okay. That was just the second step. So I started to use that instead of EFT. So like at night, instead of doing the tapping on my childhood, I would lay on the sofa and I would feel things like collective traumas, like out here in the States, like 9/11, like the Loma Prieta earthquake I was in. I would just allow those feelings that had been suppressed for so long just to be felt, not to be changed in any way, but just allowed to be felt. And that's when they would release. Now, at some point during that journey, I realized I could keep my awareness inside my body after the tension had released, which felt very different because it was just inside the body. So imagine you have a toothache or a stomach ache. You can sense, right? You're not thinking it, you're feeling it. You can sense where that pain is coming from, maybe inside the tooth or inside your stomach. But once the pain is released, you can't get your awareness back inside where the pain was coming from because there's nothing calling your attention to it anymore.
Yeah.
I realized I could keep my awareness inside at that point. And so I started playing with it. I started moving my awareness around inside and I could find where there was tension compared to no tension. So I would do the same thing. I would feel the tension, just talk to it, allow it to be felt, and it would release. And I would do it over and over and over again in my torso. And after many, many months of work, I was able to put my awareness inside my head, wow. Which was huge because the pain and the tension inside my head was incredible, like unbelievable. I could only focus in my left cheek for like a second because it was so intensely painful. Wow. And that's when I realized how much we keep stored inside and we have no awareness of it. It's stuck in our subconscious mind. Because it had been there since I was born, I think, because I was born with my right foot up against my shin, so my whole body was twisted.
Wow.
But I just kept doing this work, right? Feeling it, allowing it, releasing it over and over again. And at some point I could feel my skull bones relax. So I knew things were shifting, but it wasn't until I had x-rays taken that I could see the physical changes, but I knew they were happening. And so I've just carried on since then. At this point, I'm releasing tension in my bones, my cheekbone, my palate, inside my neck, just at a deeper and deeper level of self-awareness.
That's incredible. It really is. Because I suppose all of us have got some kind of pain or like sometimes we'll get a headache or anything. And we just take medication. Well, I don't, but a lot of us just do and just try and carry on and hope that the pain will go away. But that's not the answer, is it? To do what you've done is incredible.
Yeah, and so much more. I mean, it's not necessarily a good thought to have, but there is so much stored that we're not aware of. Mm. So that's just, if we're conscious of something, I wasn't conscious. I had a lot of migraines kind of throughout my life.
Yeah.
And I had an orthodontist tell me one time, you must have a lot of tension in your head and your jaw. And so I said to him, I don't think so. Which is so funny because there's so much in there that I just wasn't aware of. So we have so much stuck in our subconscious.
Yeah, that's amazing. That's just so incredible how you've just changed your physical body in a way. Yeah.
Without the intention of doing it.
Yeah. And then that can also go back. So when you were born as well, but I've been told through a psychic that my left hip pain has come from all my female ancestors that couldn't speak out and that I am the person to speak out. And I just find that incredible because, yeah, that they feel happy for me to be able to, yeah, say this, which is amazing. Absolutely amazing. Yeah.
Nice. Yeah. Yeah. So I did decided to write my book because I got to this place of being able to sense inside, and I didn't want to forget the story, right? The intricacies, the details of how I'd got there, because I knew as time went by, I would kind of move beyond that. So that's, I wrote it all down so that other people hopefully can do this work too, because there is such a depth to life that we're not aware of. I mean, I was not aware of 10, 15, 20 years ago. And it makes life so much more worth living. So if other people do this work, they can experience that too. So I can feel sound move through my body now. So that makes having a conversation or listening to music or something so much more, you know, deep. You can sense, I can sense feelings in people. I can sense how people are breathing or whether they're not breathing. And you can tell more if someone's lying or not, because when we lie, there's part of us we don't want to breathe into. So yeah. There's that. And I can sense into colors. I can feel colors. So there's some colors that I feel good in, and there's some colors that really do not feel good. So just all of that adds to an extra dimension to life that I didn't know was there before.
Yes, that is so amazing. Absolutely amazing. I love it. Now we are going to go to a short break. See you the other side. Hey, hey, my loves. I have partnered with Complete Unity Yoga. The power of yoga can be summarized in one word: transformation. Yoga can transform your life with less stress, better sleep, improved strength, flexibility, and so much more. The challenge for many is the constant need to pick and choose the practices that best suit your ever-changing body and ever-changing life. When you find your focus, yoga can be a lifelong source of strength, stability, and abundant health. India Yoga Retreat 2024 is a six-day yoga retreat designed for you to experience the birthplace of yoga and to help you discover your path towards living your best life possible through applied yoga practices. Together, as a group of like-minded people, we'll explore yoga, breathing, meditation, and more. Our objective is for you to go home feeling refreshed, energized, and inspired, and most importantly, equipped with the mind-body tools you need to have an outstanding year. The retreat is designed for all fitness levels, all ages, and backgrounds. The retreat date is October the 5th to the 11th. Magnificent Taj Mahal and New Delhi experience, which is an optional extra, which is happening on October 11th to 13th. Enjoy a large discount when you sign before the 14th of April. Secure your place today at CompleteUnityYoga.com. That's CompleteUnityYoga.com. So about A Pathway to Insight, so you'd said that you wrote everything down. Was that kind of part of the start of the book, or was it just something that you just thought, right, I need to write this down and I need to, yeah, put it into a book and share?
Yeah, I just needed to write them down because there were some weird things that happened along the way. I mean, Kundalini energy came up as part of it before I could sense inside, and some things as the body releases energy or releases tension, it starts to unwind in kind of strange ways. I wanted to write that down. So yeah, I just wanted to share the journey.
That's incredible. And
I have since then put out a workbook.
Oh.
So it asks all the deep questions to bring up all the past, all the, you know, the shadow that we can look at. So all my past traumas, so, you know, those questions would bring up all that in people so that then you could tap through them one at a time like I did.
Okay.
So that's available too.
Yeah. Oh, wow. Okay. Yeah. I'll put that in the show notes down below, the link to that. Yeah. That'd be good. So how much time would you kind of say spend doing it? So you'd said you spent an hour and a half, 2 hours sometimes doing it. I do mine for about 15 minutes, but if someone was to work on themselves and really, well, start off with, what would you say kind of would be the best way to start with time-wise?
Yeah. Well, it very much depends how motivated you are to change.
Yeah.
But to begin with, the very first step is to start noticing when you're emotional. Mm. Like, rather than actually being angry, you know, stand back and say, okay, look at me, I'm angry. Because then you can do something about it. Until you can do that step, you can't do anything about it. And to begin with, I could only do that maybe once a day. like just notice that I was being emotional, and then you can tap, mm-hmm. then you can, you know, use EFT or use another technique if you have another technique. But that's always the first step. And then, you know, as you get better at that, the time will expand, right? Because you'll be able to work on it for longer.
Yeah.
And then if you really, really want to change, you could go and look at your childhood. I mean, it's almost like self-therapy. So yes. if you really want to change, you know, it's free. You can just do it yourself and do as much of it as you want. It does. People do get tired doing EFT for the, you know, to begin with, mm-hmm. but it gets easier and easier to do. And
yeah.
at this point, I'm not using that technique anymore. I'm just focusing inside. And I do it many, many, many times a day because it's part of me now.
Yes.
I am out of my thinking mind. I'm in my feeling mind when I'm doing this work. And it's just natural. I do it when I'm watching TV. I do it when I'm walking. I do it many times throughout the day. But it's fun. It feels
yes.
good. It's got to feel good to release tension that's been stored for so long. So it becomes a fun journey.
Yeah, because yeah, when I first started doing it, especially when I was tapping on my head, like the top, my arms would feel like they're just lead after the third or fourth one.
Yes. But it's so fun to have the body give you feedback too. I mean, yes. the body will let you know when it's releasing energy. So a lot of people will yawn. That's yeah. probably the most common thing. Some people will burp. Some people will cry. Obviously, cry is a release of energy, so that's good. And some people get really, really tired. I've actually had people fall asleep before.
That's
so when you start doing it, maybe do it later in the day.
And how many times a week is it recommended? I suppose it depends, again, like we've just said, really. Depends on how far you want to go or, yeah, more.
Right. I mean, if you're triggered a lot during mm-hmm. the day, then, you know, try and tap at those times. Maybe if you're triggered at work, go to the bathroom and tap for a couple of minutes and then take a deep breath, relax and go back and carry on with your day and just keep noticing.
Yeah.
And over time, you won't react as much anymore.
Yeah.
So at that point, maybe you can look deeper into your past and start doing that deeper work.
So much comes from the past, doesn't it? It really... I thought I had a really good childhood, and I think I still do. But this thing, well, I had a miscarriage in 2012, so I always go back to that. But there is, everybody has got something, the way that they were spoken to, like you said about your dad and about how your father spoke to you. Even that can become a trigger. So it really depends, not now, obviously, because you've done the work. But so many people don't really realize that all of the trauma that they're having now, they've brought from childhood into adulthood.
Yeah, because in those first years of life, our subconscious mind just sucks everything in.
Mm.
And, it, you know, it might be someone said at school or, you know, a teacher. It might be some religion, right, in church. Maybe you took on a belief that, you know, you'd go to hell if you did something wrong. So all of that is programmed inside of us, and it just replays over and over and over again. We just
yeah.
don't realize it's happening often, often until something happens like that business altercation with those mothers. Mm-hmm. Something will often trigger us to realize, oh, we're actually replaying our childhood, and then we can do something about it. But
yeah.
if you're listening to this, we're telling you, it's in
yeah.
there, right? Yeah. You can do something about it. You don't need a big trigger like that. And you can do this work yourself.
Yeah, yeah. And I don't know if you are the same with your children. I'm not sure how old your children are, but obviously you've just seen mine. But I'm really conscious of what I say and do around them, because of the work I do, you do, it makes you think as an adult now, right, okay, is this going to trigger them later on in life? But obviously a normal parent probably wouldn't even think about that.
Yes, and I wish I had learned this when my children were really, really young, but unfortunately I didn't. So they definitely have some things to work on. But it's that energy that gets stored inside. It's the emotions that weren't looked at and processed.
Mm.
That's what gets stored inside. So if, you know, if a child is having some emotional reaction, to allow them to feel those emotions,
mm-hmm.
not to try and make them go away, right? Or to suppress them, to tell them, you know, stop crying. We don't want to do that. We actually want to allow them to feel that energy
yeah.
and release it. And then it doesn't get stored inside.
Yes. And I've never been one to go, shh, or like, don't cry, or come here, stop crying, stop crying. I've never said that. They've always come to me, and I've just held them and let them cry, and then they stop on their own accord quite quickly. But if you then, just say no, you're suppressing their emotions then, or even in adulthood, don't say to someone, don't cry. Or if someone comes to you and is like, oh, I really want to cry, but I don't know why, don't cry, don't cry. No, you need to let that out. You need to let it go.
Yes, but my generation, when I grew up, one of my dad's favorite sayings was, "Stop crying, or I'll give you something to cry about."
Yes.
Which is terrible, really, right? Because you're not only suppressing those tears from what just happened, but you're adding another level of trauma to it,
Yeah.
because then you're afraid of what he's going to do.
Yeah.
So,
Yeah.
yes, you're doing great.
The visualization that when you're actually thinking about something and that you want to change it, this kind of comes into the law of attraction as well, because you're attracting what you're giving out in a way. And I love law of attraction, but a lot of people say, no, it's just whatever it is, or there's the other way. I can't remember, is it Abraham Hicks who started it? Yeah. And I love them. They're incredible. But it kind of, what's that? I don't know what the saying is. I used to have it on my mirror, actually. I used to say it every day, like, what attracts, you might know it, I don't know. But what like attracts you, how you feel is then what you're going to put out in the day. So if you wake up and you're sad or you're tired and you keep thinking that thought, you're then going to be sad and tired throughout the day, unless you change your thought process. And then when you start to say things better about yourself, then you have a better day.
Yes, I'm very familiar with that. I actually tried that for a long time. I've actually been on stage with Abraham Hicks, which is really fun.
Oh,
So I asked her a question at the time, and it's gone out of my mind what it was at this point.
wow. Amazing.
I've kind of come to think of it slightly differently because we are programmed in those early years of childhood, and that is what I talk about as being our signal. That is, our
Yeah.
signal is established in childhood. So even though we might want to change our thoughts, the way we're feeling doesn't change just by thinking about it.
Yeah.
Often when we try and change our thought, we're actually suppressing the actual thoughts that we're having. So my work, I would rather find the actual thought we're having and tap on that to release the energy around that. And then we actually change on the inside, then our thoughts change naturally. We don't
Yes.
actually have to try and change them, which is really fun when you start to experience that.
Yeah.
So that's why things keep happening to us over and over again, even though we think we're trying to change things, right? We're trying to change our thoughts, but nothing really happens because we haven't changed our signal. So the EFT, the tapping on the childhood, changes our base signal, which then changes our life naturally. So it's a slightly different way of looking at it. It's not just thoughts, it's actually our whole body is what we're emitting and we're attracting back to our future.
Yes, it completely is. And what is insight? So you talk about that in your book. Is that what we've kind of been talking about now?
Yeah, being able to sense inside the body. I think that's the original meaning of the word insight. It makes total sense, right?
Yeah.
Insight, inside sight, inward sight. So I think that is the origination of that phrase, but people have changed it over time. Like they think it's more going outside of the body into the realms of whatever.
Yeah.
And I think it's more into the physical body itself.
That's amazing. And so, how would you then, if you were doing like starting meditation, can you then find that insight within yourself as well? But I suppose the EFT and meditation are kind of the same thing, because you're quietening the mind, you're actually trying to go inward rather than outward.
Yeah, there's very different forms of meditation. I never say that I meditate, although some people have told me what I'm doing now is a form of meditation. So, there's, as I said, the very different forms of meditation, and I don't agree with some of them because some of them are trying to suppress the thoughts that are there, right? They're trying to ignore them. And in my experience, their energy that's stuck inside. So I would rather notice the thought and do something about it, right? Tap on it or something, to release the energy so the thought doesn't come back. Because if you're suppressing it, it's going to come back.
It's gonna, yeah. Yeah.
But there's another form of meditation called Vipassana meditation, which is where you're sensing in the body, you're feeling tension in the body, which is very much along the lines of what I do and what I have done. So, you know, it depends on what form of meditation we're talking about.
Yeah, yeah. And then a lot of that as well, going back to the EFT, it can really change. Obviously, you've changed your physical body, but also it then excels out into other parts of your life as well, like your work life or your relationship or your family life, because you feel better from the inside, which then will radiate the energy out into other areas.
Yeah, because during that meditation, you're more at peace, and that is the signal that you're emitting. And so it's going to attract more peace back into your future. I believe, however, that doing this work with the EFT is a deeper, a longer, it changes you at a deeper level, which changes your future faster. So I know my mind quieted with a couple of years of EFT more than someone I know who's been meditating 20 years. So yes, meditation can work for some people, but I think this is a faster, longer term change.
Yeah, because you're moving the energy. Every time you're moving, you're tapping on wherever it is on the meridian points, and then you're still moving that energy out rather than the meditative state of being still. If you were going to be doing like a meditation laying down or sitting up, you're not actually moving. So by doing EFT, you're moving that energy around already because you're actually tapping.
Right. And the tapping is releasing the energy from inside the physical body, inside the nervous system. So yeah, it's making a deeper change.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah.
I love that. It's so amazing. And I'm just so in awe of what you've done with your body.
Thank you. Me too. I never knew this was possible. I would have loved to have grown a little bit more when I was younger.
But also, I think as well, it should be doctors and all the medical profession are kind of bringing things more in. They are allowing more people to go down the holistic route as well as like the medical route. But it will never overtake it, obviously, because the pharmaceutical companies will miss out on money.
Absolutely, yes.
Totally. But yeah, it would be amazing if, like, you and I have healed ourselves. It would be amazing if people could do that with major life traumas and things like that. Like my sister-in-law, she's got ME at the moment, but she's got a lot of past trauma that is all held in her body, but she's not ready to let it go. And I think that is the main thing. You need to be ready to let it go before anyone can help you.
Yeah, and you can't need to force say, someone I need to do this work. Yes, doesn't
yeah.
work.
Yeah, because you just think, yeah, right, I now need to do it. I'm ready to do it. Let's go.
Yes, and so you just hope they do it before it's too late.
But yeah,
we can always come back to ourselves. That's part of this fun work. Is so you could tap on everything you know about your sister. Was your sister-in-law?
Yeah.
Yes. So you could tap about my sister-in-law has ME. Right. And I can see all these things happening with her. And I know this happened to her when she was younger, and this happened to her when she was younger. So that then when you think about her, you're thinking about her and feeling about her in a different way. And you will attract a different part of her when you interact with her.
Oh, that's so interesting.
Will be different.
That's true. Wow. Yeah. Okay. I'm going to try that. Thanks.
Yeah, I mean, often we want to try and control other people, right? Well, you know, yeah. I want my husband to do this work, or I want my kids to do this work. But if we think that, then we're not at peace with them. So we can tap on how we feel about them, that we want them to change because we hate them doing this or we hate them doing that, whatever. If we tap on those feelings that we're having, we're going to be emitting a different signal.
Yeah.
And we're going to be attracting a different version of them. So yeah. That's what I found. My household became much more peaceful because I was much more peaceful.
Wow. Yeah. And there are 7 points to the EFT, but are there any other, as in like 7 tapping points? Is that right? I think
it's 9.
9.
But sorry. Some people do. Yeah. Some people do a few extra ones. And
yeah. But they're all kind of around like your wrist, then your face, collarbone and top of your head. Is there anywhere else that you would tap, or are they the main energy points that get released?
Well, they're the ends of meridian systems. So they're kind of covering the whole body, by just tapping on those specific points. So I just use those ones over and over again. Some people do it differently.
And again, with the when you come to sit down, would you sit down or would you lay down? What's best? Or does it just depend on what the person wants to do in that moment?
You want to try and be able to focus on how you're feeling or focus on the memory. So, sitting down is probably the best way. It's a little hard to tap when you're lying down, but you can. And, as you release more and more tension, it becomes easier to do. So, to begin with, I couldn't do it while I was driving, but now I can do it anywhere. So, I don't recommend you do it while you're driving, but know as you get more and more used to it, you will be able to do it anywhere. One time I went to like an event, a talk, and the person there was so rude to me. I'd never experienced that before. And I walked out and I drove home. It was about a 20-minute drive and I was so angry with him and I tapped all the way home. And by the time I got home, I was totally calm. So can be done.
And what are two takeaway points from today's conversation? Us do tapping.
Yeah, well, the first one is to remember or to start noticing when you're emotional during the day. You can't do anything until you get to that point. So just notice and start saying to yourself, okay, I'm getting angry or I'm getting frustrated or I'm getting sad. Notice that during the day and get better and better at that. And then obviously you can start tapping. But then the second point to remember is all these emotions are just energy that's stuck in the body. That's all it is. You don't have to get attached to the emotion, right? You can just remember, okay, or recognize, okay, I'm feeling sad only because I've stored that feeling of sadness inside from before. And I can let it go. It can leave my body so that I can be peaceful now, even though in the past I have been sad in a similar situation.
That's lovely. I really love that. And where can we find you? What's your website or your social media channels? I will put the links down below, so it's fine.
Okay, my website's annhintz.com, my name, and the x-rays are on there, so you can look them up. I have a YouTube channel that I post a video to about once a week, so you can look on there. And there is an EFT demonstration video on there. It's about 6 minutes long, so easy to learn, easy to do. And there's a lot of really deep, I would say, deep videos on there that I'd love you to watch. I'm fairly active on Facebook, so you can find me there. And yeah, the books are A Pathway to Insight and A Pathway to Insight Workbook.
Amazing. Oh, thank you so much for coming on. It's been amazing.
Thank you, it's been fun.
Thank you so, so much for being here with me today. It means the world to me, and my heart is so full of gratitude right now. If you are feeling pulled to, I would love you to leave a review over on Apple Podcasts or iTunes, whatever they're called, or Spotify, or wherever you get your podcast from, whichever platform you are on. Leave a review, even do a 5-star rating if you fancy it. And yes, go and follow me over on Instagram, gemma.haley.neese, or I'm on LinkedIn as Gemma Neese. So thank you so, so much for being here, and always reach out to me. I'm always have my DMs open, as again, Instagram, gemma.haley.neese, or LinkedIn, or go on my website, which is www.gemmaneese.com. So thank you so much, and I will see you again next week.